Paul, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good to meet you. Nice to meet you.
We had a little bit of banter back and forth digitally speaking, and this show is going to be about digital.
Yep.
But I was quick to, and I apologize, dismiss you. As you can probably tell, I mean, I get bombarded by quite a bit. So I was like, okay, I didn't have time. And you were catching me, honest, in all fairness, you were catching me. I was multitasking, wasn't even the word to describe what I was doing. I was just doing a bunch of shit. And then I was just like, I don't even know what this is. I don't even understand it. Yeah. So you're here to educate me on and everybody else that's listening on what you're really up to, right?
Right, right.
Because it's helping change in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, but I'm, old school Portuguese immigrant, immigrated.
Persistent.
So
which is a good thing.
I found another way to get a hold of you, and I said, I think you misunderstood what was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see you because I find like this podcast is definitely my people's, if you will, from a different perspective. So I thought, no, man, I got to at least present it to him and see what he thinks. Yeah. So
that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about.
We do.
What do you want to call this? Like, how do you, when you describe something, one sentence, to describe this
AI workforce. AI workforce. It's exactly what it is. It's very different than all the AI buzzwords that you're hearing right now. I'm sure it's all over people's feeds, but we're us specifically an AI workforce.
That's what it is. Okay.
That's what we do.
And okay, let me share the information here.
Sure.
You can find them at www.empiresdigital.com. Their email is support@empiresdigital.com. Their phone number is 877-736-2092. On YouTube, they have the channel under Empires Digital Inc. TikTok's same thing. Instagram is under empires_digital_Inc. LinkedIn, you can also find them under Empires Digital Inc. And what else you want me to share? Anything else? No.
Oh, that's all of it.
I think that's all of it, man. So Where do you want to begin, man? Well, hang on a sec before you begin.
Sure.
I'm wearing iPlum today.
Yeah.
Their hat. Plumbers. Nice guys. Super nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. They're hardworking individuals, right? Mm-hmm. But I had an interesting conversation with Johnny one time when the contracts were happening for union and stuff like that. And they used to be... they used to work union way back in the early days, and then they went non-union, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden, they started getting attacked by union workers calling them scabs, right? And he never even remembered that word scab. And I knew scab from the NFL, I think.
Okay.
Remember when the NFL went on strike?
Right.
This is a long time ago,
right? Yeah,
going
way back.
And so it was all over the news. Any sporting thing, it was always scab this, scab that, right? Mm-hmm, a non-union worker filling in a union worker's position.
Mm-hmm.
You were known as a scab. So Johnny was just like, why are they calling us scabs? I don't understand what that is. And then I explained, that's how I know the term scab, right?
Yep.
But there's always... It's not a union show today. There's always this funniness coming from the union to the non-union.
Right.
There's not much funniness coming from the non-union to the unions.
Mm.
Non-union usually leaves the unions alone. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Simple as that.
That's true.
All I care about at the end of the day, people work and make a fair dollar and try to keep as much of that dollar as possible.
I totally
agree.
That's
all I care about. Right. So if it goes against the grain that I got to care about that kind of shit.
Right.
Call me the asshole. I don't care.
No, I totally understand, Manny. And I think even on our side here, coming from the AI perspective, a lot of people think you apply that and you're losing workers. You're unemploying people. You're getting rid of it. It's not true. So I think from the same place, we want to help people just work more efficiently. We want jobs. We just know that we want to help them transition to where the industries are headed.
Yeah.
And I think that's where... If anything I get out of this podcast or anything that I can get across from the podcast to, once again, my peoples, is to let them know to be less kind of hard-headed, open the perspective of what's coming down the road, and hopefully they can, because a lot of them have really amazing businesses, solid companies that we've worked with.
But you see the potential that it could be.
Absolutely.
You see it, right?
I see it every single day.
Maybe they don't see it. It's hard for them to see it. But I see the potential. And that's why a lot of people ask me, how's this year unfolding, Manny? Like, what are your thoughts on this year, especially with the recent election?
Mm-hmm.
I say to them, I go, listen, it's not a confusing year. It's a potential year. Because the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of people working and there's a lot of people not working.
Yes, very
true.
So
when I see a lot of people working and a lot of people not working, I'm like, the ones that are not working didn't prepare or do something that the ones that are working did. So I think there's prospects. I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I think a lot of people are missing those opportunities.
I agree. I 100% agree. I was in the same kind of crossroads when I started Empires Digital, 2018. just before COVID. COVID then just really propelled everything. But I was in the same crossroads. I thought, are we going to change with these times? Or what are we going to do? I'm almost 50 at the time. And I thought, I'm 50 now. But I mean, at the time, I was almost 50. And I thought, you know, what are we going to be able to do in the specific industries that we're working with? And being an immigrant Portuguese kid coming in 1975 with my parents, me, my brother, growing up in little Portugal area there, Galleria Mall, Wallace, Millicent,
it's all gone.
Symington. I know.
It's all gone
it's
now.
It's all gone. So
I know. I remember seeing that sign.
Yep, that's right.
Not there anymore. It's a condo now.
I know. It's going to be. It's going to be a big complex.
So they haven't built it yet,
No, I haven't. Well, I know there's a lot of construction going on down there, but, you know, coming here thinking in and working in the trades, which is where I started following the podcast and kind of finding out what's, you know, what was going on with the podcast and, you know, being in the trades and finding out, you know, my entrepreneurial spirit was like, is this what you're going to want to do for the rest of your life? I was fortunate enough to work in corporate Canada, if you will, for two very large companies. But that entrepreneurial thing was still in me. And that's where the crossroads came in just around COVID area to think, you know, are we going to change with the times? Are there opportunities here to do something? And it was scary as shit, Manny. Scary as shit. Three kids.
It still is.
And pulling the chute like that. You know, I try to motivate my son to take risks. And I said, take him now. 18.
He's an adult, right?
Yeah, 18 now. So I said, you know, take the big risks now. Don't do it, you know, at 40 and 50s like your dad.
Let me ask you, Paula, like, if our parents came here now, would they have the success that they had when they came much earlier in the 70s?
Man, that's, you know, I can speak for my specific parents. They weren't, you know, my parents still fake that they don't speak English properly when I know they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's different areas.
I do the same when I go back to Portugal.
Yeah, exactly.
I pick and choose if I want to speak Portuguese or English, right? I just blend in.
You're totally right. Right? So I think technology is so much more advanced to what I used to call the simpler life back then, where they, you know, my uncles helped, they all helped each other.
Yeah.
You know, they all got jobs. He was a steel factory worker for almost his whole life. And same with two or three of his brothers. They all retired, you know, things like that. Nowadays, with where I think the industries are headed, you know, there might have been more opportunities, especially if I'm anything like my son, and I know he is, I would have jumped all over this stuff to help my parents.
But that would have been hard for an immigrant coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And because they would have come into construction.
Yes.
And then it's just a matter of how would they have survived? And it's,
yeah, no, you're right.
It's different now, right?
So yeah, totally different market.
I don't know how it would unfold. Because back then, what competition did they have? All you really needed was a hard work ethic. And if you can prove that on the first day, then guess what? You'd have a second, you work for the week. Guess what? You're working for the year.
Yep.
But today, technology-based and navigating political waters and projects, development costs and all this other, and the dogs at the top don't want the dogs at the bottom to get to the top.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. And as I said, I started in the trades. I pivoted later in life because I just found myself wondering, you know, my dad came here. He was an immigrant, tried to do whatever he could. And then I thought, with what little we had, am I just going to continue kind of that same path down the road of working? I mean, I did farmers. I ran a painting business. I did what I had to do, all in the trades, and always felt myself at home with those kind of environments. And I just found myself always, and I don't know if it was just an entrepreneur in me that said, you know, I have to help the same people, but just take it down a different path that nobody's going. And that's where I think everything really split. Because funny story, man, when I was grade five, started selling door to door for no reason.
And
my
five?
Grade five.
What are you selling?
Knives. Knives. I'll never forget it. And didn't sell a single one. Actual knife sets. There was
cooking knives.
Cooking knives. Knife blocks where you get all the paring knives and all. Going door to door on this promo that I saw. And my mom thought I was absolutely insane. And I went from door to door in the complex that we kind of lived in. And I thought, my mom was like, what are you doing? You know, what's going on with you? And it was just kind of that entrepreneurial spirit that's always been in me that I think allowed me to take different paths from my dad. And my dad always, he'd look at me and say, what the hell are you doing? But he'd drive me. And he's like, okay, is that what you want to do? Go do that. And he always told me, I came to this country to give you a better life, not the same life, a better life. That was the whole point. And I've always taken and packaged that up to my son. My son's doing things at 18 that I was not doing at all. So I think, you know, we're trying to do that. And this is where we're, you know, which is where I think was also rooted in the birth of what Empires Digital is all about. Yeah. Trying to bring these new technologies to the same people that I grew up around to say, guys, yes, some people won't go with it. Other people are going to see the opportunity in it, as we talked about before. So
when you speak to a construction worker and they've got a business and they want to grow it, and you mention those two letters, what's the first impression that the majority of the industry gives you?
I think in 2024, it was a hard wall. Stop.
Didn't ball. Understand I don't want, it.
Didn't understand and didn't want to know about it in 2024. Didn't want to know about it. I don't want to know anything about it. Stop. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
2025, definitely things have changed. Like you said, the markets are down. And I think people are now open to kind of at least inquiring about it and finding out, well, what do you mean with this AI thing? What are you talking about? What is it actually going to do for my business? So that's definitely changed everything. We ran some Facebook ads and it's just literally exploded in my face, just targeting, you know, the exact same companies that we've been working with in regards to results wise. And I think when we look at when they're open to it, I just simply say, you know, you have your wife might be your receptionist. I know a lot of plumbers, contractors, you know, I know she's answering the phone calls for you, right? Yeah. When you look at a situation, now, if we put an AI worker, an AI receptionist in there, she will answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We pre-program them for, you know, work shifts and non-work shifts, and they will do a better job than your wife. I guarantee it. And I know that's a bold statement, but I've seen it with my own eyes on when we feed it with the proper knowledge base of what your business is all about, be it plumbing, be it electrician, be it whatever, and we feed the learning model, that particular information, it just learns every single week as it's getting the same questions and just gets better and better with time. And it's truly remarkable for one-tenth the cost. One-tenth the cost of having somebody
Someone there, right? What about the argument about you're going to get rid of human beings working?
Well, that human being now can now just say it was the wife and she was doing your bookkeeping and you're answering all your phone calls and doing all your scheduling. Now she can maybe just do your bookkeeping and the AI will do all your phone calls and do your scheduling. It'll schedule it directly on your calendar.
Or she can focus her efforts elsewhere.
Or focus in, elsewhere.
Be doing other things, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe it's another business or another offshoot of the business, or maybe it's taking care of the family or whatever it is. The thing is, time is being given for other opportunities.
Absolutely. A bigger company who has maybe two or three sales rep and a business development rep, we'll put those business development reps within the business that will do all the stuff that your BDRs are saying they're doing, but they're not doing, like contacting your leads 7 to 10 times within a certain period to make sure they're going to contact you back. I know they're not contacting them because I was one of them. And I'd say we'd do it. The AI is programmed to do it. Voice, text, email drops over a 2 week period, 2.5 week period. And you know they're going to nurture that lead that comes through until one of them, you know, a prospect puts their hand up and says, hey, I'm ready to buy, or I'm ready to at least get a quote, or at least, you know, can I speak to someone? All that work's been done, and now you just get handed a hot lead as the business owner, as a sales rep. All the stuff that you thought that you hate doing has now been done for you already, and now you just get this hot lead, and you contact them right away.
So I want to dive into it, but I want to share a little story that earlier on I had a conversation with a successful business person. And he was trying to pivot the business during our hard economic time. Would have been the last hard, well, not last, the second last hard economic time where we were hit by the recession. Everything was, you know, economy was in the dumps. This is here in Canada. And the mindset was everybody pull back. Obviously, marketing pulls back. Everything starts to pull back, right? But he had this thought process of, well, how do we do this? How do we navigate through this, right? And he goes, the older guys, their first thought was, if we hire a sales rep, we'll get more people out there pushing our initiative, try to get more leads from that. His thought process was his salary, the vehicle, the expenses associated with it, all the calls, all the meetings, everything like that. And he calculated how much that was all going to wrap up and what the potential ROI on that was going to be. He ultimately decided to do some TV ads strategically. During a hard economic time, he knew that the broadcasters were willing to give up ads for as cheap as $10 a spot.
Wow.
In certain spots. But he was getting what was known at the time, an opportunity to be like on Hockey Night of Canada.
Wow.
he was being able, like he was actually given an opportunity to buy an ad for $10 because he block bought, right? Okay. So he thought that was more valuable than hiring a sales force to get out there. Mm-hmm. And he'd rather have them come to him.
Right.
And it paid off.
Yes, I agree.
It paid off. So he was strategic about sending a certain budget. Mm-hmm. He spoke to the, you know, the higher ups and he goes, I think TV is where we should go. And they were scared shit of it. And I'm bringing this up because it's relevant to what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Because back in that day, you're dealing with older people where they were coming from radio, which was an opportunity to get ads out there and also get sales leads from it. And now you're presenting the idea of getting on TV. Mm-hmm. But their mindset was like, it's really expensive to be on TV. But then he discovered it's not. If you do it a certain way, you could get it as cheap as $10 a spot. Mm-hmm. He maybe was spending sometimes $100 a spot, mm-hmm. but he created an ad and a message that was very clear and concise that people started connecting with, and people were watching content that was seeing the spot. Mm-hmm. And then he was getting people coming in and they were remembering that. And he took it from one store to 20 stores.
Wow.
As a direct result of that. And he chose, instead of doing the sales rep, the traditional way of doing things, he chose that and it paid off.
Yeah.
To the point where a huge corporation comes along and now buys it off or right. offers a buy, right?
Right.
And that's where this comes in with the AI. It's the same thing. You've got a workforce that's out there so used to the way that things are done. You try to explain to them what AI is all about, what the potential is associated with it. And I've always said it, it's another tool in mm-hmm. the toolbox. So you can get more efficient. You can still build a house with a hammer and nail, right? Mm-hmm. You can do it really simply. You can get pampered and use specific tools and really cool tricks and other kinds of nice tools that are coming out, but you could still build it the old school way, or you can embrace the new tools and build it a new school way mm-hmm. and also offer more opportunities for future clients because you built something more efficiently, better, mm-hmm. stronger. A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Right. No, Manny, you're absolutely right. And I think when you take exactly what you said from that particular period and bring it into today's modern era, if you will, these AI workers now will not only just position that ad in front of that target market, like what you were saying,
yeah.
they'll actually go out and scrape the lead, which is directly based on your ICP, your ideal customer persona, so where he was running the ads to.
Yeah.
They'll go and find exactly what that demographic is, scrape it, thousands of them. Bring them into a database, call them, email, text them, based on a workflow multiple times, until the people say, give me a quote, or I want to speak to somebody, and they'll just do all that work for them. So not just the ad, but also the lead nurturing, the sequencing and everything. And you were saying, if it's a single person or a pair of brothers running an electrical company or whatever, they're just going to get the phone calls that are hot leads, that yeah. are people saying, hey, I want a quote, or I want to speak, or it'll get booked directly on their calendar. So when you look at all these different, you know, when you look at the opportunity back then, you could imagine what the opportunity is today. Okay. Because it's with data and AI together, It's unbelievable the stuff that I'm seeing. Stuff that I've, and I'm 50 years old now, born in 1975. I've been in corporate America. I've had startups, and I currently invest in other companies as well. I've never seen how fast technology is transitioning with AI to just evolve into. I mean, my latest TikTok, for example. I literally showcase me speaking into the computer and just saying, hey, that lead that we just had yesterday, send them an email, talk to them. I wanted to also up to, and the AI is doing it right on the screen as I'm speaking without even typing or texting now. Those are called autonomous AI. We're testing out everything out there to try to stay ahead of the curve. So, I mean, it's incredible.
Okay, so we got to get into, okay, take us into, we'll pick a regular business or whatever.
Sure.
And how does it all begin? We know the old school way of how people are doing things. Mm-hmm. We know that the younger trades are probably more interested in trying some new tools. The reluctancy of the old school trades is a different story, but they'll eventually, like you said, 24 was one thing, but 25 is a different thing, right? Yep. But I think right now everybody's on a level playing field in 2025. Mm-hmm. So how do we begin now? I'm a regular Joe Schmo.
Right.
I've got my website. I've got my social media. I've got enough work coming in that's feeding my workforce that I need. Mm-hmm. But there's huge amounts of opportunity to grow. How do we start to grow this with AI?
So basically, if we go on the screen here, I'll kind of show it off. So here it is right here. This is the AI workforce. Okay. We started with 2. We're now up to 10. And every aspect of your business is a complete white glove, completely done for you service that we deploy AI workers right into your business. So if you're like, hey, my website sucks and I'm not ranking high enough on Google, we're gonna employ Nick. He's the webmaster. He's gonna go in and completely take care of all your website stuff, automated, all your keywords, all your rankings, all your blogs, post it all, manage it all, put it all on your website, all managed by a hybrid approach of Empires Digital and the AI workflows that we all create and agents that we create for our companies.
So can we get rid of this whole stigma where you need a website? I don't give a shit who you are.
Well, absolutely. You still need a website to be able. Now, before it used to be big 50-page websites,
You don't need that.
You need a landing page.
Get
to the point simple, proper call to actions, proper ways for people to get a hold
but
of you.
But don't miss opportunities about keywords and key opportunities.
Absolutely. And you know what? Yeah. It's actually evolving even more with AI because Google now, as you know, with Gemini, is adopting a lot more of the AI content strategically because of where AI is headed. So when we end up doing ours, it's always a hybrid approach of the AI will design all the blogs, a human will relook at them, especially when I'm dealing with, for example, one of our companies is a safety training business. We can't just put out anything out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes an AI will hallucinate or say some crazy stuff. You have to have, no matter what people say out there that, you have AI, you push a button, the robots take over.
No.
It's not.
No.
So you always have to make sure it's not hallucinating and saying things, especially from a regulatory perspective, to make sure that those blog posts make sense. So you as a regular company, if you don't have a sales development rep or you're thinking, hey, I have one guy, he's almost full, and the business is growing enough that I want to add a second one, what we would do is we deploy a BDR, a business development rep for you. We'll take all the monotonous, repetitive tasks from your current business development rep. We'll get the AI to do it all. And then we'll just have all the hot leads go to your actual live human to close. So right now, instead of hiring a second BDR for $50,000 a year, you now have it for 1/10 the cost, and he's only dealing with actually closing deals. So this is what I mean by not losing positions. You're just making current staff and people that you currently have on your staff way more efficient, way more effective, and more importantly, trackable.
Yeah.
Where you can actually see. You can see the AI go out and call, text, and email these particular, because you see it all on the learning management system, which I'll show in a sec. Online reputation specialist, so your reviews, your Google online reviews, replies to them, goes out and sources them. If somebody just left your business, it'll contact them and ask for the review.
Are they part of the whole process regarding social media and engagement?
So yeah, social media and engagement as well are part of that as well.
Okay.
Customer support reps, so as you do onboarding, if you sold a client and you got to onboard them all, the repetitive tasks involved with that are just, There's just so many of them. So we'll be able to deploy one of the receptionists, number one right now. Our receptionist now is people not wanting to pay a receptionist $35,000 to $40,000 to just answer the phones, and then she's gone.
So I call your business, and who's answering?
An AI receptionist. So an AI.
What are they saying? What are they talking?
They're talking to you as if it was a regular incoming phone call. They're dealing with every question from knowledge of your business, transferring if they need to. So if they're like, hey, I just want to end up giving Manny a call. Transfer it over to them, answer questions on the spot, and also book directly on calendars. Multi-workflow program. Now, I know it sounds interesting, and yes, they're pretty, and by the way, these are not real people.
No, of course not. I know.
We put a Kendra in a particular company, and it was a bit of an issue because they thought that was a real person. The wife thought, why are you hiring, somebody so pretty? I'm like, this is not a real person. This is not a real person. What we care about, and you should care about as a business, is this part.
What they're doing. So the
what
flow
they
chart,
do. Exactly.
Yeah, the flow chart associated with the task.
Correct. So the complete customization of that AI agent into your business. Now, I don't mean just snapshots of templated workflows that someone's going to sell you and say, hey, there you go, you're great, which a lot of AI companies are doing now. They're just providing automations because that's what it is. We are completely done for you where we actually look at what your business is, what's your ultimate goal of what you're trying to do, and we will then work backwards from there and make sure that each one of those workflows and everything that's happening with AI is doing exactly what you need for your specific business, not just some blanketed template, if that makes sense.
Do you, at any given point of this whole process, because we're just getting started right now, do you ever feel that you're interacting with a machine instead of a human?
Never.
It still feels as if you're interacting with
still
a human?
Still feels like
really?
At first, the voice agents, for example, the receptionist, very robotic, and it would kind of talk over you as you're talking back to it. Now there's pauses, there's ums, there's the odd cough, extremely so, and you can massage them to be, more empathetic, more professional. You can put the tonality into them of whatever your business, if you wanted more relaxed, this is amazing.
How are you
for
doing
me.
That? Like, how are you?
Oh, it's all in the selection of the background workflows that we do. The tools, the software stack that we use allows you to select professional, hippie.
So you're choosing the workforce. And then you're choosing the personality of the workforce?
The personality and the tonality of what people are going to hear within.
Cow. It's wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So even
so this is what's important. Yeah. Because the thing is, you got a client potential comes in, inquires, and now there's a whole process.
And then we set up that process. If you're like, Paul, I don't have a BDR, a sales rep and all that. It's just me. It's just me that answers the phone calls. So we'll put an AI agent to answer the calls. We'll put a business development rep to nurture all those calls. And once they're ready to buy, we'll just send it to you directly onto your calendar, or we'll send it directly to your phone, or we'll text you, hey, new lead, which probably will showcase better here, which then can be loaded right into your load, which we provide as well. It's called our Profit AI system. You have full transparency. The whole dashboard, you get to see here on the left, all the texts coming through, going in and out from the AI. And then if it books directly on your calendar, you see directly on your calendar. Complete transparency, all happening while you're sleeping. All happening when you're sleeping.
So 24/7, it doesn't...
24/7. And that AI receptionist will have different paths based on if you're open or if you're closed. So a plumbing company could have, a different process after 5 o'clock. We would adjust that to mimic whatever their specific needs are after hours. It's a different way to look at it, Manny, especially here, for example. So our company org chart, people are used to having a bunch of humans, right? So founder, vice presidents, directors, managers. When I worked at Home Depot, that's kind of the whole structure. Now, when you look at even my business, you have me up at the top, but then I have chat agents. So managers, physical human managers that are there watching the AIs, which are all of these down here. So instead of having workers down here, we have systems in place for a fraction of the cost that are much more effective in generating us our business.
So, okay, I know cost is going to be a major thing here, right?
Yep.
Do Do you want to share, or how does the cost work?
Depending on the average that we've been seeing now, depending on each AI that we put in, they're usually 60 days or less to develop based on whatever your needs are. And they're usually around between $7,000 to $10,000 for setup. And we split that up in two payments. So we always kind of divide it in two, so it helps from workflow. After the 60 days, there's usually just a maintenance fee to maintain the AIs, the software stack, and if you guys want to tweak it. So as companies get to know them, they're like, wait a minute, can we make it do this and this and this as well? We take care of it all for them. They do nothing.
So that fee was for two AIs?
One AI.
One AI.
Correct.
Right. So what's typically the workforce that you're looking at for a typical trade business?
Trade business right now, we're noticing a receptionist and a business development rep. That's what people want to do.
So those get the leads and then...
Get the leads, scrape them, manage the leads, and then book them on my calendar or get them to call me or text me.
So you're looking at anywhere from 12 to 14,000?
In and around there, about 12,000 for two. And then it's about $800 to $900 a month to maintain
the... After that, once it's set up and it's to maintain it.
It's just to maintain it and change it.
$800 or $900 each one?
No, no, for both.
For both?
For both. Yeah, and the more we add on, like for example, if we went with all four, it's 15,000 for a full workforce. All applied. So a BDR, your online representative and doing social media, your receptionist and your BDR, all of it all in one shot. So it's literally a fraction of the cost compared to what
hiring.
Between hiring a person, no days off, no managing people, you know, all the stuff that can be, especially in the trades. And the trades are just one segment of our business. We do great there, but any service-based business, yeah. Any service-based business that deals with, you know, servicing people, servicing clients, it's the same issues back and forth. I mean, when we look at kind of the costs associated with it, it's very straightforward. I mean, there's, you know, different salaries, and this is based on North America. I mean, a sales rep is about $60,000 a year, all the way down, right? So these are a fraction of the cost of what we can put in there. A lot of companies start with one because they're still skeptical.
They want to try it out.
Once they've done it and it's launched, then they bring on a second and a third AI agent and say, I totally get what you mean now. So 100% money back guarantee. Everybody's money is at zero risk with us. If they're not happy after the 60 days and they're like, Paul, this is nothing like what you said, full 100% satisfaction guarantee. We don't work with businesses that don't work with us. And like I said, the reason why I'm here, because they're my people. These are, I literally want to try and change the mentality of the people that I used to work with to let them know that, hey, there are different ways to do it more effectively. And please don't get left in the dust. It is the train left. This is not Paul coming on Manny's podcast to say, hey, this is it left 3 years ago when I pivoted my business in 2024 when ChatGPT came out, because we were more SEO and a full digital market. I said, this is it. I completely pivoted. We haven't stopped since.
At Maple Overhead Garage Doors, they're not just opening doors, they're opening possibilities. Serving the greater Toronto area with top quality garage doors in steel, wood, fiberglass, flush mount, and full view aluminum, Maple delivers style, strength, and satisfaction for both residential and commercial spaces. With years of experience, unmatched craftsmanship, and the next level service, your neighbors will be jealous, but your garage door will speak for itself. Visit www.maplegaragedoors.com, email them at maplegaragedoors@hotmail.com, or even call them at 905-738-9231. Follow them on social at Maple Doors and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience live at Maple. Maple Overhead Garage Doors, built to impress, made to last. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Are you getting a lot of people, I'm just curious, thinking that they can do this on their own and they just go to ChatGPT and I'll create it myself, I don't need you?
Yes, absolutely. That's where it comes.
And I disagree with it, by the way, because it's the same way. I would never, at some point in your construction career or your business, you got to stop doing your own books. Mm-hmm. You got to stop doing your own taxes. You got to stop doing all these other things. You need to start hiring professionals to take care of those tasks, because they'll do it better and they'll make you more profitable too.
Absolutely.
So, or you can sit down if you want to mess around with ChatGPT and try to figure it out on yourself, go ahead and do it. But, or do you want to run a construction business?
That's the difference, I think. And that's why I tried to really differentiate at the beginning of this conversation about these AI workflows and everybody and their mother is starting a new AI agency this year. And you just got to be careful that they're not just selling you a template that they're just regurgitating over and over again. That is simply not what we do. We deploy custom agents into your business based on what your business needs are. So even if you wait a little bit longer and do it right, as opposed to buying a $2,000 or $3,000 workflow and thinking that it's going to work properly and the kid doesn't even know what he's doing. That's the biggest difference, I think, with what we bring to the table. And I just saw the opportunity because of that entrepreneurial spirit, and coupled with the fact that, you know, when we came here, I worked with these type of companies and I saw that. And when I was doing Farmers, for example, we ran with two different crews and my uncle was one of the foremen, one of the supervisors. Yeah. And I thought, you know, he did well. And, you know, he, you know, very, very hardworking person, managed, grew from one crew to two crew to three. And I just, you know, I just started seeing kind of different opportunities within the industry to be like, hey, why are we doing it like this? And in some cases, Manny, they may not even know. There might be people on the podcast like, Dad, I had no idea this was even going on. So this is why I thought, you know what, let's call up Manny and see. And
I think they're aware of it. I just don't think that they're educated enough to mm-hmm. understand what they can use. And I go back to, it's another tool. Mm-hmm. That's all it is, man. Just look at it as another tool and find out, is it going to benefit your business, right? And as you're breaking it down, I'm looking at it going, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Because what's the alternative? And I'm not trying to dismiss an employee workforce. The alternative is that you hire all these people. Will they do a much better job? It's the salary associated with it too, right?
Right.
Plus, what's the biggest stress when it comes to any construction business? It's that stress of I'm providing for this person and their family.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think also when you look at transparency and trackability, these AI agents, as a business owner, you know exactly what is happening at all times because it's all integrated into your own customer CRM, customer retention management system. So it's not that you have to trust a third-party agency and they're like, I don't even know what this guy's doing. It's all completely interchanged right onto their own learning management system. They get to track everything, see all their data. Imagine being able to say to a plumbing company or to a construction company, you got 10 phone calls this week. Two of them ended up converting. Our AI ended up sending out one quote and the other two you handled. Like, we literally be able to see that. And then once they get to kind of learn it, and all the training is part of everything that we deploy, it's all included, literally seeing all the emails and texts and everything flowing back and forth while they're sleeping. Literally while they're sleeping.
Are you making recommendations on how to, I guess, optimize you?
Yes.
So if you had a week and you got so many leads came in and mm-hmm. a percentage of them got actually converted into an actual job.
Yep.
Are you going to make suggestions to the company going, listen, if you were to tweak this, you might potentially double those closed deals next week?
Yes. And I think from the data perspective, once we've worked with a company for 6 months, we grab all that data and then we start doing what you said.
Yeah.
And that's running ads, targeted specific ads on Meta, on TikTok. I can't even believe I'm still doing TikTok at 50 years old. Like my kids, my two daughters, they're on them. They love them and they do. And I'm on it myself because I see the value that's in there. So when we look at all that data and being able to literally put an AI agent on it and say, hey, come up with three different ads that are specific to my ICP. And let me know which platform is best for it to be for my ads to be get posted on. And the AI will spit it all back. You should start on Meta. You should start on Google. You should start on TikTok. Here's the three ads. Here's what the images look like. And, how long the video should be. It's a full data analysis.
Here's a question for you, Paul. Is there bias coming from the AI? Based on whatever hit platform is doing the best. You know how the social platforms always change their mm-hmm. their backgrounds,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So it's like, now you got to do this to get more views or more traction on IG. If you change this or you tweak that,
right.
you get. So is there a bias coming from AI?
There may be a bit of a bias, but I think the quality of the data matters more. You know, for me, we found Google, pay-per-click. Is what works best for service-based business, especially in construction. Plumbers, electricians, companies like that, we found pay-per-click because people are actually going into Google and saying, plumber near me, painter near me.
Yeah.
So we want to go grab those. So that's what we would engineer the AI to go out and grab. So it's that targeted. You're not just kind of putting an ad out there and, you know, you're getting calls from all kinds of crazy things. It's all targeted directly advertised to your ICP.
And it's only pay-per-click, so you're only paying.
You're only paying per click.
Yeah.
All results-based, and we have a pay-per-click AI agent. Designs all your landing pages, Once again, with human,
budget as well too.
Design the budget and then grow it based on your ROAS, your return on ad spend. If we start with 3,000 and you flip that to six, then we're going to recommend, hey, you should probably put four next month.
Of course.
And those are part of the recommendations that you were speaking to before.
Now, how does AI interact with our current economy? Does it factor in what's going on? It was interesting. This morning, I just did a question to ChatGPT, right? And I was just asking it something about how would you navigate with the new election and the new prime minister and the new government and all this other stuff. What are some of the, and it gave me some pros and cons based off of that. But I also like with ChatGPT, I also like asking the same question twice. I'm learning that sometimes if you ask the same question slightly different, it gives you a slightly different, possibly better response, right?
Right, yep. Yeah, and I think it's also in the prompt. So if I can give you just a little, maybe a little trick of the trade, ask ChatGPT for the prompt. So if you have
That's interesting, yeah.
So if you want your question, we do it all the time. If the question is, how is AI navigating in this current kind of political landscape? Ask that and then say, create me the ideal prompt to get the perfect answer to that question. And it'll give you the prompt as well. That's just a little trick.
No,
that
that's a good, that's I like that one. That,
so
that
just ask them for the prompt.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's a lot of different ones. DeepSeek, Gemini, of course, from Google, ChatGPT, Perplexity, and it changes all the time. You know, so there's, you could ask a couple of different, they're called LLMs, learning language models. You can ask a few different ones. You might get a different answer. So you're right. There may be some type of bias in there based on even whatever learning language model you're using.
But I mean, the objective here anyway is to get more exposure for your business, which is going to turn around and give you leads for your business, which is basically profit in the bank, right?
Right.
That kind of idea.
Right. And I think it's from both ends. A lot of people think, well, sales. Well, wait a minute. How can we save you some money off, directly off the bottom line, which then could potentially grow your top line? Because sometimes you gotta sell $5 to make that $1. So let's try and see if we can save you some money by systemizing your processes with some AI agents, which is technically like getting, you know, 10, depending on what your margins are, technically like getting $10 worth of sales already on the bottom end before we start growing your top end. Let's look at how you're doing business today. And this is what I really wanted to open up people's eyes to, because as I said, I'm not saying everybody's a mom and pop construction worker out there, but even these $1 million businesses making $1 million, they're solid companies that we're working with, and we're shaving, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 right off the bottom line in a year with just deploying AI agents and doing it better. And just shaving it right off there, like, I don't have to pay for that anymore. No, you don't have to pay for that anymore.
But you're also getting the return.
You're getting the return, and you're getting to see it live, as I said, right within your own
circle. I can understand if you're not getting the return, if you're not getting the leads, but it's just like, if you're doing all this lead conversion, then you are going to get the leads, right?
100%. And I think in 2018, like I said, when we were, you know, we were heading into kind of a down market, we went into COVID, we're the first people to get fired. When a company is not performing, you're the first person to get fired, especially if you're an external part of the business, right? So we learned that, and that's why we ended up pivoting, because we had a lot of clients, we were giving them the results, but they're like, Paul, I just don't have the budget. I just don't have the budget to continue with this. Even though we're ranking higher on Google and we're doing all this, we have to let you go because of the simple fact that we don't have enough. And now we're an extension of their business. So it's just a much more sustainable business model for us, because we're basically their marketing division internally that is deploying all their AI agents for the company.
Do you guys, I'm just curious, okay, so let's say you've got a business and it's been doing well. Let's say it's for 10 years, right? Okay. It's been doing well and there's steady growth every year after year, right? Would you input and start the history of the business with AI and then give it parameters to talk about, we understand that we've been increasing 25% every single year for the last 10 years, but we want to grow a lot further now to the potential of maybe one day being acquired by a bigger corporation. Do you plan for that with your tools?
Well, the beauty of companies, you should, because those are our ideal customers, because in the data, when you've been in business for 10 years, we can grab all of that data based on, you know, even your P&Ls, how your product or service has evolved over 10 years. We can grab all of that and really do a deep analysis with AI to find out, hey, instead of just growing 25%, I want to grow 50% next year. What should be our actual tasks to do it? So those are my meat and potato businesses, because we have the data. You know, when you're dealing with a couple of brothers or a husband and wife plumbing company, yes, we can help them as well, but the data just isn't there. And for me, data-driven decisions powered by AI is where the industry is headed.
Yeah.
110%. And that's why I want to bring my fellow people with me and let them know that, hey, let's get you starting to get some data, even if you don't have any now. Let's start systemizing your businesses. Let's start finding out who's your ideal customer. Some people don't even know. What's your CAC, which is basically your customer acquisition cost? I have no idea. What's your LTV? What's your long-term value of your customer? I have no idea. These are all important data metrics that you need to know to run an efficient and scalable business here in North America. You have to have these things in place.
So what's everybody doing wrong?
Well, I think they get used to how things are working. They're making just enough where they don't have a headache. They're getting old, older in life, maybe peacefulness. I'm fine. I don't want to deal with it. We're scared. Some of them are, what about if I tweak this? Am I going to break something over here? Mm. So there's kind of that skepticism, when you initially talk to them. But all it takes that I say is all it takes is employing one agent, just putting one. And that's just try one. You're going to get your money back. If you don't like it in 60 days, it's no risk to you. Zero risk to you. And then once you get them to go and get over that hurdle, like that safety training company, for example, started with one, they're up to four. And they're, a very solid company. Safety training in warehousing and construction, which was my background, So, I still hold seats on the CSA, so B335, which is the lift truck training standard.
Okay.
I'm still the vice chair for that particular committee. We just wrapped up meetings last week for the renewal of that standard. I've sat on the Canadian Supply Chain Sector Council. I've just tried to stay in tune still, even though I kind of took my own path. I know you talk a lot about working at heights.
Yeah.
Qualified inspector and qualified instructor of fall protection equipment through Andrew Solowski at CSA. Going back a little while, any of the red forklifts that are out there is a Raymond product, which is owned by Tyco, Toyota Industries Corporation. Worked there for 10 years, managed 40 guys training on construction and warehousing equipment. Reach truck, counterbalance, order picker, walkie, boom trucks, certified through JLG, certified through Genie, like all the major players in the game. It was just, that's why when I started seeing your podcast, I said, these are my people, man. They shouldn't at least allow me to speak about it so they can understand that there's sense. Different things going on.
Early in my construction career, I always had this rose-colored goggles that every construction company could be built and eventually sold off to somebody else that wants to take it even further.
Right.
But are you seeing that the majority of these kids that are building these brands, these businesses, they just don't have the direction for it? Is that the issue?
I think so, but I know you've spoke about this here on the podcast before. I think there's just way less youngsters coming into the industry in ratio to people coming out of the industry.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that are coming into the industry are just a little bit more, easy to apply things like this to, different ideas to the business, and they become very successful. I think there's huge opportunity in the construction industry for a couple of young cats to come in here, apply some AI, and I guarantee you they will scale much faster than,
Say that for every aspect of the construction industry. It's not just one builder or trade. Mm-hmm. I think it's every level.
I think starting even with one truck, they'd have 10 trucks within a couple of years.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind, just targeting ads, applying AI. The opportunities for youngsters to come in, apply these technologies to an old school trade or an old school format, the opportunity is huge, just simply because on the market conditions right now of how many people are leaving as opposed to how many people are coming in.
At Royal Door and Trim Supplies Limited, they're not just delivering doors and trim, they're delivering possibilities. Proudly serving Toronto and the GTA with top quality interior doors and trim for every residential and commercial project. With 50 years of experience, expert craftsmanship, and a service that goes above and beyond, your space won't just look good, it'll feel exceptional. Visit royaldoor.ca, email them at sales@royaldoor.ca, or call them at 905-669-2954. Follow them on social at royal_door_LTD and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience reign at Royal. Royal Door and Trim Supplies, quality since 1975 and proudly Canadian. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. So outside of the workforce, if we're trying to downscale, because that's exactly what happens. Like when you have a downturn in the economy, they pull back on marketing and they pull back on staff. They have to let go of certain people. So you no longer have the office. You no longer have the physical receptionist anymore. You no longer are spending dollars to promote yourself. You're trying to do a fraction of what the ads you used to do on whatever you were doing, whether they're, I saw when the economy was turning, I saw a ramp of so many people that I follow, Google, like IG ads all over the place. And I looked at it as if it was just ripples in the water. People were just throwing whatever they wanted to throw in there and see if it would stick. Simple as that. I don't think, I didn't see them as effective. I still see a bunch more guys are still doing it. I don't see them as being effective. But outside of that workforce, outside of those ads, where else are they spending money that's not working in today's economy?
I think when we look at, so in trade specifically, or? Well, I think when, well, definitely labor. Labor, definitely one of the top ones for sure. I think when you look at kind of, you know, how org charts are and how people are really trying to maintain their businesses in times, you know, of high technology growth like this, labor for sure, I think, is one of the main ones. I also think in your processes, a lot of people forget the burnt dollars that you just don't see, you know, the burnt dollars and inefficiencies in your systems. Like, you're still paying for those. You're still paying, you just don't see it, but you're paying for those. You know, so I think between labor and inefficient procedures and policies that can't be tracked, you're just burning dollars. So
I agree.
You need to be able to see that. And that's where my value proposition comes in, where it's like, well, you're paying a receptionist $35,000. This receptionist costs $10,000. You already have a $40,000 swing right off the bat. And we're going to be able to track her, and she's going to work double shift. She's going to work, or he or she will work day shift and when you're off.
After hours.
And after hours. So those lost, you know, procedural systemization, systemizing your business losses, people don't really calculate those. And that's what I mean by direct bottom line savings.
Can your AI also, I guess, quantify the values associated with, like, the unfortunate thing with the young, I think what they shoot themselves in the foot, you saw this in COVID at the beginning, for whatever stupid reason, and it was a good part on the people selling the vehicles, right? They were aggressively selling work vehicles and tying young trades into long-term lease. And all of a sudden, you know, the business was good. A lot of renovations were going on. A lot of work was out there at the beginning of COVID. Everything was essential. So they looked at it like, yeah, I think it's a good buy to spend $100,000 plus on a new work vehicle. Does your program sit like you can talk to, you can figure out, is this a good chess move? Because at the time when I was looking at it from a third party just outside, I thought it was the dumbest move ever. There was no way I was going to ever commit to $1,000 plus monthly payment on a new work truck, thinking that we're bringing in $500,000 in sales based off of that. I'm like, you're on a 5-year lease with this vehicle. If the economy turns, which it did, you're stuck with that $1,000 and you're not bringing the $500 in anymore now.
To answer your question, absolutely. And that's a simple, once again, asking the learning model to even ask the question back in a prompt format. For me, I would absolutely do that. This is the cost of the vehicle that I'm thinking. This is where my business is today.
That goes for tools, that goes for infrastructure,
anything. And it'll tell
office,
you,
everything.
Brutally honest too. It'll tell you, brutally honest.
Based on your history, based on where you want to project, don't do this or do
don't
this.
Do this or don't do this. Or if you want to do it, what are the KPIs, the key performance indicators you need to hit to maintain that for the next 5 years? And if those KPIs aren't something that you think you can handle,
the data that's valuable.
That's the data that's valuable. And that's why these tools are just so, and right now they're completely free. They're going to be free. These are simple prompt stuff that I'm even willing to help your constituents with. I have no problem doing that, even if they have questions. It's not about selling here. My main goal is to try and help them. So even if they have questions like that, you know, all the contact information is there. I have no problem.
It's going to be in the show notes.
I have no problem. Absolutely.
Will you meet up and just have an assessment with them?
Well, we can do assessments. Like you, I have not a studio like this, but all of our stuff is digital. We have people in North America, in Toronto. We're a team of 8, but we work like a team of 35, just from efficiency's perspective. And we have humans watching these things. And it's so important that if they go out and start inputting AI and trying to get templates and different things from different agencies, just make sure that there's always humans watching it. And I think that's the key thing to...
You don't want to just create and then just send it out.
There's a word called hallucination, and they will hallucinate. Learning language models will hallucinate. They will They will go crazy. The voice ones.
That's where the bias thing I was thinking about.
Yeah, there's sometimes it'll just spit out something really kooky, and you got to make sure that, you know, especially for a business or us representing a business, we want to make sure we're deploying is being actively tracked, or else, you know, it could lead to an issue, especially in regulatory stuff. Like for that Lyft training company, the safety training company, if a blog goes out and it's completely against a CSA regulation or regulation A51 or anything out there, they're going to be like, what the hell?
It's going to get challenged.
Yeah. You know, you're a safety training company and you're not even quoting the regulations, right? So there's, and that's where I think I bring both perspectives and why some of these companies go with me and us is because I know the seat that they're sitting in. And that brings that extra trust as well to say, hey, you know, this guy actually knows what the hell he's talking about. In my space, in the service industry space, construction and things like that.
Is big construction embracing this?
Big construction, yes.
They must be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They totally see this
at a whole other level. At a whole other level. Investing big dollars into it. Big, big dollars.
Not because of just getting rid of or streamlining the work physical force, but just doing it for the profitability of it.
Profitability of it and for future-proofing their business.
Growth.
Absolutely. For growth.
For mergers and acquisitions and just like opportunity. I don't know of a young person in construction who doesn't eventually want to sell their business and then work on other things of interest of theirs, right? Yep. That's, you brought it up earlier on where I agree with you. A lot of the youngers are coming in and they're not staying in as long, right? Because they don't want to be swinging the hammer the same way that the old force right now is getting out of the business, right? But if they can build their business to the point where someone comes in and acquires it and you get a big pay out of it, but you need that data to back up to get that pay.
That's true. It's 100% true. And I think there are some young whippersnappers out there and some guys that I think are doing it and will do, not to the extent of how many people are actually leaving. But there will be definitely some people coming and seeing opportunities.
There's
all over.
There's opportunity
It's huge.
That's what I'm saying is that it's been refreshing to do the show where I see a lot of young guys coming in here and starting old school businesses. Like regular, whatever you call it, could be lawn maintenance, it could be weather, snow maintenance
mobile,
and stuff like that. And they're kids in their 20s, but they look at it like there's an opportunity here, man. Like there's a kid up north, Stefano, he's Northern Exposure, and he's up in
See how many trucks he's got?
Yeah.
I know the exact kid you're talking about.
Yep. So my thought process is like, okay, he's in his 20s and he's like putting an order in for 40 some odd Kubotas. And I'm like, okay, well, he's got to be getting the workforce going on.
Yeah.
And he has the workforce going on. So he must be bringing in the dollars.
These are the young kids that I'm talking about.
That are changing the landscape.
That are changing it. And just growing at a massive scale. That kid was working out of his garage for 3 or 4 years ago. Now look. Yeah. So
partnered and seeing the potential. And that's why I think it's applicable to every single trade. So if you want to be a plumber, it's easy for the plumbing, HVAC, and electrical ones. It's a little more, I don't know, dramatically more difficult for the bricklayers, for the framers, for the roofers. I don't think it's that much. I think it's still efficiency there.
Yeah.
If you're a roofer and you can figure out how to get more leads and how to get more people interested in you instead of your competition, then why wouldn't you do that? You're going to be the one that's going to get called to do the job. There was a roofer that jumped, like he's been on the show a couple of times, and he started picking my brain about stuff to do on social media. And my primary response to him was like, what sets you different from everybody else? Like, I get it, you're a roofer. And roofer B is also a roofer. Yeah, roofer C is also a roofer. But why do I want to hire you? I know you personally. So I just said on social media, present you. I want to get to know you. If this is your opinion, I would start there. And then I can get connected to you if I want to hire you. And that's what he's trying to do.
Building that trust. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think...
But he can work with you, build out that workforce to further explore that personality being front and center in front of potential clients.
Absolutely. And front and center in front of his actual ICP, his ideal customer males from 30 to 45 or whatever his ideal customer persona is. We are during
in
onboarding
this area, right?
In this area, don't bring me up over here. Keep me all over here. And that's the areas that we would target. And brand is a big thing to do with it, like what you're saying too. You know, they want to buy from you because roofer is a roofer is a roofer. But if you send out the right message at the right time to the right person, and that's exactly what these AI workers do.
I mean, I really want construction workers to, I always tell construction workers, pay attention to other industries. There's a reason why you see products come out of left field and they weren't supposed to dominate the market, but somehow they did dominate the market. So what did they do differently that made them dominate the market? And the first one that comes off to mind is Liquid Death. So, you know, Red Bull owned
the whole energy. Yeah, okay.
They own the whole energy market. Nobody can touch them ever, you know, at all. Liquid Death comes along. I'm not a fan of energy drinks in general. I don't give a shit about them, right? But they come along, and now they're a serious, fierce competition to Red Bull. How did that happen? And I go back to the old school Henry Ford, how he went to that meatpacking district in Chicago way back in the turn of the century.
Right.
And he was educated on the assembly line. He saw how they were carving parts of the animals in an efficient way. So one person was in charge of this section. Another person was in charge of this. He developed the assembly line based off of a meatpacking district.
Amazing.
So it's the same thing with construction. Like, pay attention to what's out there, who's doing what, and what's interesting. What are they doing? Why is everybody eating this particular product? It's a new chocolate, or I don't know what it is, like something. Why is it that, you know, Nike or Adidas, like, why are they always fighting? Like, I mean, go back to the 80s. Like, Nike was nothing. Jordan came along, and him and his mom made that deal, and they took a risk.
Yep, percentage.
Then Nike became the monster that it is because of that. So they had no future because, you know, Adidas was the competitor. That was the leader there, right?
That's right.
And they came in, and they became a fierce. And you can take any model. Ferrari tells Lamborghini to shut up.
Exactly.
And then he comes back, and now competition. And then Lamborghini tells whoever else. There's always a so in construction, it's the same thing, man. You can do the exact same thing. Find out what other parts of other industries are doing what they're doing well, and apply it to your industry, your trade, your business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think when you look at things that are working well in other industries and apply it to yours, it totally makes sense. Especially, and I don't think it matters what level you're at.
No.
I just really think the level playing field is so out there right now in 2025 because of these cost-effective solutions. I think, you know, if you're looking to change and looking to grow, you definitely have an opportunity out there to do it. I absolutely agree that there's no better time right now to grow a business. There's no better time. I know the markets are tough.
It's doom and gloom right now.
It is doom and gloom right now.
Doom and gloom also means opportunity.
Yeah, and you got to be ready. Like you said, remember before?
Yeah.
If you're not ready, you're going to get crushed. You're going to get crushed.
What else you want to share, Paul?
Yeah, so I think when we look at, I think the last one here was, so this is our website that you can contact us through there. It's just, I guess one last thing that I want to put out there was it's applicable to many different types of services, businesses. So to be specific, to not just go out and start getting quotes from people who are just applying templated things to you. So for example, a safety training company, it's going to look different than a clothing printing business.
Of course, yeah.
It's going to look different than, say, legal services, right? Or an insurance and financial company. So these are all customized and bespoke to your business. So just make sure when you're out there kind of looking at all this stuff, make sure that they have a reputation. First of all, they have case studies and make sure they're legitimate, you know, legitimate companies. You want to make sure that, you know, they've been doing it for a little while and they have the right people in place, that they've worked with other different type of companies as well. And just, you know, make sure, and I'm here to be a resource, I guess, is all I would want to say is I'm here to be a resource, even if we do no business at all. I'm here as a resource to help out as many companies as I can. That was the main goal of coming on the podcast.
Honestly, I would say that if you're a trade and you got a business and you're trying to grow your business, and if you're not even researching a fraction of this, your business is not going to be in business much longer because your competition is. I honestly believe that. I totally
you took the words right out of my mouth. I know everything's been doom and gloom, but I know I hinted at it before. The train left the station. It came when ChatGPT came out. It blew up and hasn't stopped since. And this is 3.5 years. Imagine in 3 more years, it's going to be a completely different world out there. Complete and moving a lot quicker. in change than what we were used to at the speed before. And what I mean by that is it took, so 1995, the internet came out, took that long for people even to start shopping online. This will be a quarter of that length
span. Now it's
span.
Second nature to everybody.
Now it's second nature. And stuff that I'm seeing over there is just incredible, what it's doing.
I would encourage anybody like who's listening to, first of all, just a lot of people in construction, they just doom scroll, right? So they're spending time doom scrolling, and I think it's more of an escapism from the doom and gloom that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of ironic. The doom scrolling is actually contributing because of the economy, right? State. Yeah. But I would say, listen, try to focus that doom scrolling. And the reason I'm saying that is get on social media and doom scroll, but pay attention to what everybody else is not really paying attention to. So that's why I started taking a note of all the small companies, construction companies, that were trying to get inserted ads and trying to get some exposure. Mm-hmm. And I know that they were desperately doing that. They weren't targeting this shit. Mm-hmm. I could tell by the way it was done. I was like, you guys are just being desperate. You're offered something by a platform. You can put this ad in and you'll grease
shit
up seven
against
ads.
The wall. Let's exactly. see what and see what sticks.
And
right?
then they give you their spiel, and I'm like going, okay, well that benefits Facebook and that benefits IG. They make money from you, and then but does it benefit you? Mm-hmm. So I would say start paying attention to what other people are doing. And if anything, start paying attention to what the big players in construction mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. doing. Right? Because they are doing something. They're not going anywhere.
No.
Their objective is what? To make money.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're doing certain things, you can do the exact same thing in a smaller scale. So like I said to you, I was asking you about how are the big companies actually doing a lot of AI? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, they are.
Absolutely.
They're totally doing it. They're trying to navigate it because they want to see what the future is going to be like,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate, to metal, flat roofs, to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca. Or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
And I think to just wrap up too, the when we look at, so I'd love to be.
We got some time still.
Oh, good. Amazing. I wasn't sure.
No, there's more stuff.
I'd love to show you guys kind of where it's at now, things that we're testing. That so not just simply run an ad, nurture leads, book a calendar, send over the lead owner or the company owner the lead. When we look at now what we're testing of where it's headed, I just have to show you this because it just might.
We're on TikTok now.
Yeah, we're on TikTok now. So when I go to my profile, my latest one here, check this out. This is incredible. Look. Will it play sound as well?
Go into our CRM and look up the custom meeting that I just had this morning. I want you to go on to that prospect's LinkedIn, scrape their LinkedIn and their company email address, find out some of the features and benefits that our offer can really relate to their business. I want you to also look at their website and do the same. I want you to find out exactly what they do, what niche they're in, and exactly what they bring to the table and how our offer can help grow their business. With both of those strategies in place, I'd like you to also draft up an email for me highlighting a very soft...
You're just talking to AI?
I'm just talking to my AI, my AI assistant. Introducing our and on top, it's doing it all, not me.
Being very personalized to everything.
There's the email.
Within their LinkedIn profile, it's composing everything based on your prompts.
Based on my voice.
Ready, introducing ourselves softly.
And also give them a text message now.
Send them an email and to check their spam. I want you to get that all created for me. Once it's all done, let me know, and we'll be able to follow up according to myself. Text me when it's ready.
What? That's it. So this is what we're testing now, which is autonomous agents. So you just speaking to your computer, and you just got off a great podcast and say, hey, I'd like to follow up with this guy. Send him an email, send me an email, and it just starts operating your computer autonomously. And I was doing a split screen there to show you the email being created, the text being created, and all of it.
So you were just talking to AI, and that screen on top is your laptop.
Correct.
And it was designed. So there was one thing that jumped out at me when you were talking about there is that don't allow it to go into spam.
Yeah. So the text, I said, remind them via text to check their email because it might go to spam.
It might have gone to the
spam.
Yeah,
so it's a way that I combat that because as a new person prospecting you, a lot of our stuff goes to spam.
Yeah.
So Paul at Empires Digital or of support course, at Empires course, Digital. Yeah. So I text them and I say, hey, go check your spam. So, and they created that, texted it, gets it out to the customer. This was a prospect that we met with. And this is the type of efficiency. So if you can imagine just that, what that'll do for your company. I mean, you can be doing that just talking to your phone. It's a new technology that I've put all together called simplyaskai.ca. And this is what we're testing within our company to then be able to release to businesses. But that's not yet. This is just what we
You're
use.
Testing it right now for yeah, yourself.
We're using it on our own clients. And then eventually we'll deploy this and have people being able to use it itself.
What's the timeline for that?
Probably within, by the end of the year. We'll okay. definitely, oh yeah, by the end of the year we'll have this. It's simplyaskai.ca. So this is just the platform on what we're using. And I thought if we're there, it is right there. So if we're using it, let's try and have, you know, let's have people kind of go in there. And then you can literally go in and ask it to search, look up a person's profile, look up their email. And then you just start talking to it on the bottom with the microphone there and you're right in your phone.
Can I ask you, I'm just curious myself. I don't know if you're going to answer it, but I mean, you offer the money back guarantee.
Yep.
But has that ever been applied?
Never. Never.
No?
Never.
So once if someone's tried to give it a try, whether it was one workforce or two or what have you.
Correct. And the reason why, I'll put that into context is...
Well, you've brought it up so 60, many times, right?
It's a 60-day project.
Yeah.
So we, our onboarding
You'll
is...
see it.
We will both see it as supplier to business owner. We will both see that it's not working. Well, no, my team will tell me and say, hey, I don't think, you know, we're not aligned here on what's going on. So we'll call a meeting and say, hey, let's manage expectations and show what we're doing. By the end of the 60 days, we've trained them and they're ready to go. Or we part ways within the first few weeks and say, oh, what you're expecting is definitely not. So we're very clear in our quotes and we're very clear in what we kind of deal with during the onboarding phase. That's why it's there. But still, it's in writing on our agreements. If after 60 days, no questions
you're not
asked,
satisfied.
You're not sad. The company maybe took a turn.
Yeah.
You know what? We can't deploy these or we can't maintain them going forward. Can we just keep them and then we'll maintain them ourselves? Yes, not a problem. So we want to work with companies that way. So it's not,
Your objective is to help grow businesses.
Absolutely. And I've been in the place before, I call working with brokies, and you're the first person to get cut and you're working your ass off and your team's working your ass off and you're still, so I'm just not, we're not in that business anymore. We're into helping service-based businesses grow with AI solutions. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, man. It's very interesting, actually. And you've been doing it since 2018?
So 2018, Empires Digital was launched. I was still working at Tyco, Toyota's Industry Corporation. It was just that entrepreneur thing I told you about when I first came. So it was more of a side. And then started more as digital marketing and SEO, just regular things like that. And then when ChatGPT came out and after COVID, that's when I said the whole high risk.
The ideas thing. Have caught up with technology.
Yeah.
Or the technology.
The wife was a little spooked.
Yeah.
And she was like, we have three kids.
We all got it.
What are you doing? Yeah. But I tried to do it based on results based and seeing if it'll work. Cause I've worked with startups in the past before. And so I always wanted to be as strategic as I could and minimize as much risk, but it's scary as shit, Manny. You go launching a business at 48 with three kids and
I know.
In the middle of this AI stuff that people are talking about. And back then, everybody just thought it was ChatGPT. So I think we're headed down the right path.
No, it's a lot further than that nowadays, right? Yeah. That's just a starting point. That's just, again, one of the tools. Use it and start building it, right?
100%. I think it's initially just the stepping stone. I really do think it's the stepping stone for way more amazing things, are some good, some bad, but way, way more amazing from a business perspective, what's coming down the road. Like I said, this is just a simple app that we created that we're going to deploy and give out to clients as well. But could you imagine literally just talking into your phone and having it do what, you know, instead of you busting it out, going to your phone, texting, going to your phone, emailing, and it just does it all for you and sends you a text when it's done.
One of the, remember when Elon Musk introduces tequila?
Mm-hmm.
Was it tequila? It was tequila. No, it was a spirit. He had the lightning bolt.
What's yes. Okay.
What I was fascinated about that was that, first of all, he's not a spirit company. He's not a beverage company. Mm-hmm. He wasn't any of that shit.
Right.
But he's a very good marketer. Mm-hmm. Whether you agree or disagree with him, whatever your opinion is, and trust mm-hmm. me, I'm not a fan of EVs, but I respect his business mindset, mm-hmm. right? When he launched it, I knew exactly what was going to happen as a result of that, right? Mm-hmm. It got oversold. Every single one was sold at a premium. And then the empty bottles were being sold on eBay for collector's items and all this other shit. Yeah. And all he did was he proved the value of marketing and having extensions of what your current service is. And I've always said that in construction where, and you could probably attest to this, by building your AI in your business, there might be avenues that you haven't even thought about mm-hmm. that could be connected to your business, mm-hmm. that could sell to your clientele that you are building.
100%. 100%, man. You're absolutely right. And I think simply ask AI.ca is one of those exact points. We're utilizing all of them. Our team got together and said, listen, let's just put the software stack together. That's what we're doing for all our clients anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's come up with our own app. So, you know, they're going to kill me for even talking about this already, but I saw it on there and I thought, hey, might as well mention it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's coming
and we're going to get it out there. But, you know, that was not what we intended Empires Digital to be, right? It's pivoted, and that's one thing that I've always done my whole life is definitely pivoted. People are scared of change, and I think those people who are scared of change are the ones that are going to get left behind. You need to be able to adapt. Yeah, you got to be pushed. And I tell my son that all the time. I tell him, fail big now. And learn from those mistakes and then go on to learning, you know, new things and trying out different perspectives. The guy's just as crazy as me. He's doing all kinds of kooky stuff.
What's he interested in?
Oh, financial literacy for youths. It's a great, he actually started a company called Fly Youths, FLY Youths. So I'm helping him with that from an AI and digital perspective of stuff that he never learned in school. How to open up a bank account, how to start a credit card, how to manage your money. You know, just basic financial literacy for youths. Just the stuff they're not teaching you in school. You know, how to invest, what to do, what not to do. And the kid's done well. He's got some money in the stock market, which is a little bit iffy right now. It's come back a bit this week, but he...
But what do we know about history?
So he's got the long-term play there because he's so that's young. I mean. So
you could be the gambler and you could do the short-term or you could do the long-term.
Yeah, no, he's definitely long-term, but loves his cars like me and just doing
they're
crazy
just
stuff.
Toys, that's all it is. They're just simple toys. As that. Yeah. I remember back in my days, what the big thing about financial literacy in our days would have been like how to teach us how to write a check. And who the hell writes a check these days?
Yeah, and managing the checkbook and all. Yeah, absolutely.
I've had businesses, brands that I work with, and they're like, can we send you a check? And I was like, is it 1944? I don't understand. Like, digital currency is what. So, Paul, I got to get to the 12 questions. I want to share with
you. I
want to
put my hat on for this, man. I remember that you have your hat. I'm putting mine on, man. I'm putting am I cutting my whole head off here? I don't even know.
No. Okay.
No? All right.
You're good.
Let's go.
www.empiresdigital.com. You can find them. Email them at support@empiresdigital.com. Phone number is 877-736-2092. On YouTube, under Empires Digital Inc. Same thing with TikTok. Under Instagram, it's empires_digital_inc. LinkedIn is the same as TikTok and YouTube, Empires Digital Inc. Reach out to them. Have a conversation with them, man.
Absolutely. And as I said, even if there's no business at all, they will speak to me. They will speak to me. Those direct lines, the support mechanism. I watch everything. If they call the line, it'll be either myself if I'm on or the AI, but all the emails, everything go to me. I manage everything on my CRM. I see everything that goes through.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
You mentioned him before, but definitely Elon Musk. I'll tell you why.
That's two and two, man, back to back.
I'll tell you why, because managing that many technology-based businesses and that many at the level he's doing is that entrepreneurial fire that I have. I think to just even spend a day with that guy would be insane to just figure out what's going on.
You learn a lot.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
I guess reading romantic novels and I'm kidding.
Hey, if that's your thing, that's your thing, man.
Dude, Twizzlers.
I haven't had a Twizzler in forever.
Dude, I don't know what
it
is.
They still make them?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm on a big kind of weight thing. Me and my wife. My wife's all over me.
I know,
me.
But Twizzlers are not good for you.
Not at all.
For that.
So I haven't had them in a while. They're definitely a guilty pleasure. I don't know why.
I haven't had them forever.
Yep.
Least favorite tool?
Sanding. Anything to do with sanding. Any sander, anything. I've built furniture in my house. Like, I love woodworking.
The sound or the dust? Or
the dust, the getting it right, getting the consistency right, the sheer amount of labor involved with getting a piece right. It's just everything involved with sanding. Never liked it.
Biggest risk you ever took?
Definitely starting Empires Digital just before COVID there and what it took going through COVID. So leaving corporate America, starting my own business.
Best compliment you ever got?
I think I'll preface this one by thanking my wife first and foremost. But the biggest compliment I've gotten is how good our kids are. I think kids are raised differently nowadays from our generation, and to see kind of how they're turning out, being respectable, kind, and just really smart kids. I'm prefacing it that my wife does 95% of the work. I'm saying that clearly. I want somewhere to sleep tonight. I want to, definitely when people compliment my kids.
Favorite beverage?
Coffee. 100%. It's my coffee, man.
It never fails to make you laugh.
Never fails to make me laugh. Prank shows.
Yeah.
Like prank shows, spook shows, like the, I don't know if you see it sometimes, that there's like a tree in Vegas that pops up and scares
the shit out of people.
I sometimes go on a 45 minute bender on stuff. Like my wife comes down and is like, what the hell are you laughing at? And so
people's reaction to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very honest. Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Save your money, buy a house, don't invest.
Those are three bad ones.
Three bad ones. And it's the old school Portuguese way. My parents worked their whole life. They actually worked at the Ford plant here around the corner for 15 years.
And aren't it was always. Are they closing that down? They're retooling?
They are completely retooled. They retired now, but they were there right off Royal Windsor Drive there. Yeah. 15 years. So my mom was full time, my dad was part time, but. You know, invest in your house and save your money. And, you know, for every dollar that's in your bank account, you're losing every single day. So just in, especially in markets like today. So
it's true. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Race car driver.
NASCAR or open
wheel? No. Open lane. Race car. Yeah.
Formula One.
I love many different aspects of cars. I think it's, yeah. So definitely a race car driver.
Favorite curse word?
Caral.
Favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation?
This one probably nostalgic for me every time I'm asked this question, Manny. 1985 Mustang GT Cobra with the exhaust, Flowmaster exhaust with the 3.5-inch mag tips, lowered a little bit in Viper Red. I always say that because it takes me back to a certain time. Mm-hmm. When I was that age, I've had a few of them, and I don't know what it is about that last year of carburation. It's just when I'm driving it around or when I hopefully get to drive it around and get another one, it will just take me back to that time. And that I'm craving that more and more, especially now when I'm 50.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. You like any of the new ones?
The new ones are some of these new beasts are insane. Not kind of my style. I'm an old school muscle guy. My son is more... You know, into the BMWs and into the, more of the pocket rocket type of cars. I'm old school muscle. And I don't know what it is about that car, man.
That the new Ford one, the one that beat the record at the Nuremberg.
The Super Snake?
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah. Was it stick or was it paddle?
I think it was paddle. I think it was paddle.
It kind of makes sense that should have been stick for some stupid reason. Look at that and I'm like, that should have been stick. I don't know why.
I mean, it's a generational car, man. It's done so much. There's been some ugly versions of it.
Yeah,
there's been
some crazy versions of it. When they made it into kind of a sedan.
Yeah, all of that. But just that particular model.
Yeah, I know. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You did the best you could with what little you were given. Come on in, Popsick. That's what I would hope he would just say. Come on in. Come on in. You did the best you could with what little you were given.
Paul, thanks so much, man, for being so persistent to get my attention, to get a hold of me. Yeah. This is very, very cool, and I think people should reach out to you and at least have a conversation with you, man. Perfect. And get that ball rolling. So, and I think there's prospects this year for anybody who's struggling regarding their business, right?
Hey, I appreciate it, Manny. I love what you do.
Thanks, man.
I think it's great. Like I said, it's my peoples, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, man. That's it. We're done. We're out of here.